Welcome to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner, shares insight into the financial tools, techniques, and temperaments needed to make the most of your retirement dollars and relationships. Danielle bridges the gap between Wall Street and Main Street, bringing complex financial topics down to earth. Danielle will educate and inspire you as you define and refine your version of prosperity.
Hello and welcome to another episode with Danielle Howard. Today we're talking about time to turn over a new leaf. Now, Danielle, welcome to the show. First off,
good morning, Matt.
Good morning. A lot of stuff contributes to turning over a new leaf, but I'd like to get historical on you for a moment, if you don't mind. What happened in between 07 and 09, and who really was affected with that, especially when it comes to retirees?
Well, we know that everyone was affected by it worldwide, and it was an experience that I think impacted our psyches and our pocketbooks. And my hope is that we can learn something from it. So as we look at what turning over a new leaf means, I come about it from a couple different viewpoints. One is financially. What does it mean to turn over a new leaf, to begin again, to make a fresh start, or to change for the better? And as we look at what happened in that recession, in that very painful time, are we learning something? Are we wanting to do something new? And especially for retirees, I think the impact of that economic season, it was an economic winter. And I think that we have an opportunity to embrace what happened there, to learn from it, and to do our money differently. And Richard Thaler, he's the Nobel Peace Prize winner for his economic work on behavioral finance and behavioral economics. He really brought into the conversation the idea of what happens with some concepts like loss aversion and anchoring. And those are components that I think retirees need to look at and go, wow, you know, what is loss aversion? And that's when somebody would experience a negative feeling of loss more strongly. So back in 2007 to 09, we felt that recessionary period much more deeply and profoundly than we do when the bulls are running and the market is growing. And how do we internalize that? And what are the behaviors that come out of that? And as we look at who is affected by the recession, everybody, but then how do we deal with the behaviors that came out of that and our feelings? I've heard people say, oh, you know, I lost money in the market. I'm never getting into the market again. Well, is that really serving you? Or is that a belief system that may be holding you back? I've also had conversations with people about the concept of anchoring. And again, something that happened in the recession was when people's assets went down in value, instead of looking at maybe some things that needed to change, they hung on to a reference point that didn't serve them. What I heard it going around about with real estate, you know, somebody may have planned on selling some real estate to retire, to shift their lifestyle. And then the recession happened and they were so anchored to that price point that their house could have sold for had they sold it a couple years earlier, that they don't visit the plan and say, would it still work for me to sell my home even though the price has come down, and really play out all of the different scenarios that could come into play when making the decision. They just held on to that idea that, oh my gosh, I can't let go of this now. The price has gone down. I just caution people that we need to look at the recession and learn from it, and to know that, yes, there will be another one down the road. And how is that going to impact both our current financial decisions, as well as what it takes to turn over a new leaf in this new season of life that we're entering.
We're not indestructible, and the markets aren't indestructible. So, I mean, I'm assuming markets wax and they wane, and you just were referring to the bulls have been running really for a long time now. It's most likely going to happen again. What do we do to prepare, to learn from it? And you just said, I think, a key point, which is to revisit the plan. Is that the mantra? Is that what you want to make sure that you're meeting with your clients on to prepare for something like that to happen again?
Yes. And I believe that moving into this new season of life, this fall season of life that may last 30 years or more. It's not our parents' or our grandparents' version of retirement anymore. And that's another component of the new leaf that I wanted to touch on too, is that we're completely redefining what retirement looks like. We're actually, I like to toss that word out of our vocabulary. I like to call it rewirement, refirement. What do the Vesper years look like, or your encore years? And the whole idea that we are going to withdraw or remove ourselves or fall back and retreat, which is what retirement means, doesn't exist anymore. And so how do we embrace this new season of life, turn over a new leaf in the fact that we get to do life completely different than our parents or our grandparents did? In that, we need to look at financial planning as a continuous process. It's a strategic alignment with what's important to us in our lives and putting the financial pieces together to undergird that and to strengthen and make sure we've got the cash flow. So many times people will think, well, if I have a financial plan, it's a static. It's a one-time thing. I get the plan. I follow the plan. It's set in stone. And it doesn't work that way. It's much more challenging. It's much more fluid. And as we look at embracing our life seasons, as well as understanding that we're going to encounter economic seasons, we really need to stay on top of our game.
A lot of people gave up, as you had said right at the beginning, in 08, that either they weren't going to hit the benchmarks, they weren't going to do, you know, they weren't going to hit their price points, or they held on too long, or they had kind of unrealistic expectations. A lot of them still haven't gotten back into the market. What are they supposed to do now? I mean, for those people who've been just sitting in you know, money in banks and credit unions, and help us understand, you know, how do they get back in? Can they get back in? Should they stay given up? Should they not stay given up? You just said it might not meet your needs. Help us understand that whole situation a little bit better.
This is where people need to do some strategic planning. They need to sit down with a planner, a financial advocate, that is going to lay all the pieces out on the table, whether it's Social Security, whether it's their 401ks, whether it's their equity in their home or not equity in their home, depending on where you live, taking a look at how all of these different pieces are going to be unpacked to help them create their version of true prosperity. One of the first things you need to do is come up with your why, and why do you want to continue to grow? Or if you don't want to continue to grow, how do you use what you have to the best of its ability? And when you understand what your priorities and your prerogatives and what's truly important to you, and start putting the financial pieces together and understanding how each one of those financial pieces work for you, you're going to be empowered. And you may not need to be in the market. I don't know. Every situation is a little bit different. And I think that's one of the things that really holds people back from going to a true financial advisor, is they think all a financial advisor is going to do is tell me how I need to be in the market. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily true. Depending on what type of investments you're comfortable with, depending on what your goals are, there may be times that people have enough in the bank that, given their lifestyle, they don't need to be in the market. It all depends on what your goals are, mm-hmm. on what your comfort level is, on what is important to you, understanding your perspective on risk, We know that we need to incorporate inflation. So if you, you know, you need to, and you need to look at just lifestyle inflation, that may be real low right now. We're hovering around 2%. And we know historically it's been much higher than that. And we know for medical care, for health care, that it is a much higher rate. So how do you put those pieces together and address your concerns, your opportunities for what lies around the corner and way down the road, and make sure that your financial resources are as optimized as possible?
Well, and you just talked about working with a real financial planner or advisor, and that is one of the big differences between what you do for a living with your, you know, alphabet soup after your name and your experience and all of those things. But you switch the conversation because you want them to actually look at what you refer to as a gratefulness journal and having the conversation ask the deep question, which is why, instead of how much or what. Can you elaborate on those?
The money part is important, but I think culturally the narrative has been just about how do we get a better rate of return, or how do we beat our benchmarks, or what's the latest, greatest investment that's going to perform really well without any risk and no tax implications, and what is that perfect investment? And we know that doesn't exist out there. I think it is really important that people sit down and enter into the conversation about why are we doing this money thing? What is important to it? What is important about money to us? What are some of my mindsets around money? And as we move towards retirement, what I have found is the conversations, whether it's with an individual or with a couple, can be much richer and much, much deeper on things that truly are important to them. And once we get what is important and why it is important and what their version of prosperity means to them, but what they're wanting to accomplish in life, or what some of the not only financial goals are, but what brings meaning and purpose to their day, then we can start putting the pieces together. You mentioned the gratitude journal. This is a piece that I found very beneficial for myself when I was going through some challenging times in my life and was kind of focused on what I didn't have. Back in the recession, we had two kids in college, and my husband had made a life choice to become a teacher, and we needed to make some pretty big changes in our life, and we had to tap into some of our financial resources in ways that we hadn't really planned on. They were kind of set up for more down the road, and we were having to tap into them sooner than later. And I had to make a shift in my attitude. I had to really embrace what Lynn Twist says in her book, The Soul of Money, An Attitude of Gratitude, and start looking at everything we did have and be grateful that we were able to make some shifts in our situation and our financial resources and use them differently than what we had originally thought we were going to use them. And this process to me really opened the door to what it means to be content and to understand that that gratitude is that foundation, and it breaks the chains of materialism and that keeping up with the Joneses. So I encourage all of my clients as part of their, you know, daily practice to start their day with what am I grateful for today? And it may be our health, it may be relationships, it may be something outside that you can look and say what a beautiful sunrise. But it changes our perspective on how we want to handle the day and maybe even make some different financial choices.
I've heard advisors talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but they really just gloss over it because they're just talking about the bottom foundation. And it sounds to me that you're talking about a lot of the self-actualization, the higher levels of Maslow's hierarchy. Would you mind talking a little bit about how that applies to turning over a new leaf, especially in this new season of preparing for retirement or retirement?
Thank you, Matt. That's a chapter in my book that I dig into from the perspective of we need to start with, again, that foundation of physiological. And so as we apply this towards our rewirement years, we want to look at what changes. And we know that we are going to go through the aging process is going to do something. We crave different foods, or guess what? Our sex life is going to change a little bit, that the physiological needs change. And there are financial implications to all of that, believe it or not. So what changes financially on that real ground level physiological perspective? As you move up that hierarchy of needs, the next one is going to be safety. And we can look at that as the roof over your head, knowing how you're going to pay your bills, knowing how the money is going to be coming into you to make decisions about keeping your family protected. And as you enter the retirement years, safety also includes, how do you protect yourself against elder abuse? How do you protect yourself in your health? You know, the type of insurances you're going to have are going to change. There's things that are covered by Medicare. There are things that are not covered by Medicare. There's long-term care issues that you want to incorporate into your plan that is going to, again, fill that safety level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We dig into love and belonging. What changes as you move into your retirement years around that love and belonging? We hear a lot of people that want to change locations. They want to move to a warmer climate. What does that mean for your family dynamics? Some people want to move and downsize to be closer to family members. So there's financial components and financial decisions that need to be addressed as you're looking at how do you address that belonging, that community mindedness. When we take that next step up to esteem, that's when we're looking at achievement, respected by others, and continuing to build that confidence. And as we look at this season of life, I think the opportunities to really simplify in order to be able to focus more on these top three levels, whether the love and belonging, the esteem, and the self-actualization, this is where we can be challenged. Many times, just that foundational level of physiological, what house do we live in? You know, what roof do we have over our head? When we're young and have a growing family and we need a larger home, that changes. And so if we can simplify our life, we're more able to focus not only our financial resources, but our time and our efforts and our talents on some of those upper level needs that we can start looking at what it means to be that focus on that esteem, that achievement, that self-actualization. I'm seeing more and more that second half folks in life that up in the self-actualization where they talk about creativity and spontaneity, focusing on problem solving. This is where we get into the opportunity to get it involved in volunteer efforts. And we maybe not have to earn a living, but we're able to use our financial resources to support organizations that are important to us. Creativity, oh my gosh, when you go to a summer arts festival, look at the number of people who are retired. Mm-hmm. And they have found this whole fount of creativity, mm-hmm. and are creating the most amazing pieces of art and repurposing materials, and it's so exciting to see people exploring this facet of their life. and knowing that, yes, there are financial contexts that we need to really pull apart and make sure that you're able to do what is important to you.
Now, this has been, you have covered a lot of ground, Danielle. You really have.
Yes, sir.
What is something that our listeners can do now to implement some of the things that you've talked about, whether that's the gratefulness journal, whether that is starting with why, taking a look at where they're at on Maslow's, maybe stretching their wings a little bit and learning some of those other things that you just talked about. Maybe they need to express themselves artistically. What would be a good takeaway from today's podcast so that when people go back and listen to this again, because I highly recommend that all of our listeners listen to this podcast a couple of two, three different times, because you're going to glean different things. Like I said, Danielle covered an enormous amount of ground here. So what is something they can do today that could very well change for the better this next season?
I think that people want to take a big bite and change their lives 180 degrees. Mm-hmm. I encourage people to take a small bite. And the topics we're talking about, they're elephants. It's a huge piece. And how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? So take one small bite. Which one piece out of the conversation that we talked about today kind of pricked your thought process? Mm-hmm. It may be as simple as thinking about, what does retirement mean to you? What are you looking forward to? What are you concerned about? And having a conversation. I think out of all of this, if I can cultivate people talking a little bit more about different aspects, take it and go with it. Just have a conversation, being willing to share your thoughts, your ideas, and being willing to listen to somebody else about their perspective on retirement, or maybe what is different? How do you see your life in this new expanse that lies ahead of you being different from what you maybe encountered with your parents or your grandparents, what you saw? Just take one small bite, chew on it a little bit, share it with others, listen to somebody else, and decide how you want to make a 1% difference in, you know, 1% change in your course direction, and step into it.
I was reading, you just triggered something. I was reading a Japanese philosopher, and the Japanese philosopher said, how does one climb a mountain? And the philosopher said, you take one step toward the mountain. So I think that's applicable here. Let's take one step toward the mountain. You're not halfway up the mountain. We're starting to walk towards it. And Danielle, this was a magnificent podcast today. For those of you who haven't subscribed to the podcast yet, this is what we're going to be talking about. This is life-changing, life-affirming, in a very different perspective on what your relationship should be with a financial services professional. And if you're not having these conversations, it might be a good time for you to reassess your relationship, or even ask your financial services professional if they're willing to have conversations like what Danielle brought up today. So, Danielle, thank you so much for your thought leadership.
You're welcome. Appreciate the opportunity.
And if there was one thing in this podcast, or multiple things, that did really spark your interest and something that you are planning on chewing on, like Danielle said, make sure that you share this podcast. It's very, very simple to do. All you have to do is click that share button below, and that way you can send it to your friends and family so that they can glean some of the insight that you were just able to glean. And if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. For Danielle Howard, this is Matt Halloran. We'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Wealth by Design, LLC. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Danielle Howard, Certified Financial Planner, is an investment advisor representative of Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC. Cambridge and Wealth by Design, LLC are not affiliated.